This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We are waiting on Nick Caleb, the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans, to step up to the microphone in order to address the assembled media at OTAs. But before we get there, let's go around the NFL a little bit. So there's been a little bit of jawing somewhat going back and forth there in Las Vegas when it comes to the Raiders, because Chip Kelly is now the offense coordinator there. You remember that time where Chip Kelly was out here looking for jobs and people wanted him here?
I remember that time quite well.
He ends up with Pete Carroll and co out there in Vegas. And
money whipped him.
Yes, they sure did. They gave him a lot of
that
money.
That was a lot of money for offense coordinator, man.
Money
whipped him.
He's the offense coordinator for Ashton Gentry, their number six overall pick that they had over there. Notoriously, Ashton Gentry in college had a pretty straight upright stance when he would tote that rock. And it seems like there's been kind of conversation about Ashton Gentry's stance that has changed. Well, Chip Kelly apparently told Gentry earlier in the month that with any sport, you know, if you bend your knees, you got to bend your knees, right? So we've already seen in OTAs, Gentry kind of taking a more traditional kind of stance, even if it's a 2.1 where you kind of have a little bit of a bent stance. You know who does not believe strongly in this?
I hope everyone.
DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson has, and look, it seems like DeSean Jackson might have a larger beef with Chip Kelly from dating back to their times, both as Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. But apparently he really doesn't like Chip Kelly. And he's to the point where he looks at looks at this change as Chip Kelly and his seeming want to overreach in his desire to manage things. Because you remember, one of the things that he had as a level of, I don't know what the right word is, as an opportunity to get an edge at Oregon, was they were tracking sleep patterns of players and everything. And then when he got to Philadelphia, that ended up being a little bit of an issue because it's tough to tell adults how to do that.
Yeah.
It seems like he might, DeSean Jackson is viewing this in that kind of same realm. How do you view the changing of Ashton Gentry's stance? One that seemed to be pretty productive for me.
Well, I'll put it this way. Before I knew that it was DeSean Jackson that was, you know, I saw it come across and I read it. Before I even knew that it was DeSean Jackson, you know, and they have, you know, some ill will toward each other, I still disagreed with it. You know, this sounds like the most Chip Kelly of Chip Kelly things that he does. You know, he's got a brilliant offensive mind, but he tries to reinvent things that don't necessarily need to be reinvented. I mean, it's Ashton Gentry. I get it. You know, you need to coach him up. You need to do things your way. But man, I mean, it works for him. You know, it works for him. Hey, Steph. You want to change your shooting motion? You know, let's talk about changing your shooting motion a little bit.
Well, I don't even know if it'd be Steph. I think it'd be like, hey, Larry Bird, like these guys that have these unorthodox looking.
Yeah.
And I have a friend, shout out to my guy Sam, who says there's only one rule. It just has to work.
Exactly.
Right? And I think that's the thing that's interesting. Chip Kelly, if you want to get this verbatim, he said, quote, if you look before the ball is snapped in baseball, before the ball is snapped. Wait, hold on. I'm reading this verbatim, and I'll read this once again, starting from the beginning. Quote, if you look at before the ball is snapped in baseball, okay, or the pitcher throwing the baseball, everybody's got their knees bent. In any athletic sport you're playing, you've got to bend your knees. And if you've got to run a flat route on Fred Warner, you better be in position to run because that dude can fly. So all we're trying to do is put guys in positions to make plays. So you're in a place where you're like, come on, dude.
It works.
Do you think that this is like kind of portends that maybe his stint as OC will go similarly in some ways to what happened in Philadelphia? Or are you thinking that this might be a bad omen for the Raiders in their offense?
Well, I answered before you finished your question. You said similarly to Philadelphia. That was just a bleep show, so I won't go there. But I think this is going to be you're going to see a lot of this from Chip Kelly and a lot of professional athletes rolling their eyes at him.
So, okay, we'll see what that looks like. Some other things around the NFL. Yesterday, in fact, once we got off the airwaves, there started to be a little bit of scuttlebutt around a potential trade in the NFL. The Miami Dolphins, a team that really, interestingly enough, I think it seems like their head coach, Mike McDaniel, is on the hot seat. That's an offense that you're trying to see. Are they going to be productive? They've had some offensive line kind of issues in some ways. Right, Jalen Ramsey is in this will-they-won't-they situation of will he be traded before this season starts. Well, the Dolphins have engaged in trade discussions not about Jalen Ramsey, but about tight end Jonnu Smith with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Smith apparently expressed interest to the Dolphins in reworking his two-year deal that he signed last offseason, which would pay him $4.8 million. And he has not shown up to voluntary OTAs. And so the Steelers apparently have interest in Smith, and it's rooted in Arthur Smith's longstanding relationship with Jonnu Smith. Jonnu was the tight end in Tennessee when Arthur Smith was his tight ends coach and then later traded for him with the Falcons when he became the head coach. I look at this and I go, word, because Arthur Smith has not been particularly good as an offensive
coordinator. I agree. That's kind of where I was. Yeah. To me, I feel like, first of all, I mean, what is Jonnu Smith right at this point in his career? I don't know. I don't know how good he really is. So there's that. It's not. It almost strikes me as like it's not going to be good for the Dolphins. I don't know how good it would be for the Steelers, and Arthur Smith is not exactly the guy that I would want pushing this deal.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about the Steelers is that we've had a lot of conversation about who is their quarterback. I think there's been criticism of Mike Tomlin and his head coaching, and are they not getting over? But I do think that one of the things that you can look at and you go have questions of is his hiring of his staff, because remember he had Matt Canada for a while and he kept him too long. He was not a good offensive coordinator. Arthur Smith, think of the tight ends that they do have. They have Pat Freiermuth, who he gets stuff done. They have Darnell Washington, the dude out of Georgia, who looked like a tackle and could also catch the football, and he's not been utilized. I'm like, you want to add another tight end that you're probably going to misuse?
Yeah.
I do not feel great about that. Somebody said Chip Kelly is very Eclair C. Small.
he
with
really
his
is.
Micromanaging. That's hilarious. All right. Around the NFL, let's go to Houston, Texans at NRG Park. Nick Cayley talking to the assembled media. This is the offensive coordinator of your Texans. Listen to it now on Sports Radio 610.
I think that you had some time now to get some offense as well.
I think everything, to answer your question, really it's not my stamp specifically. It's what suits the strength of the guys that we got. So I think we're in the discovery process through phase two, and we get to work with them on the field, get an opportunity to see the different skill sets, the different routes, the different schemes that we could potentially deploy this year. So it's really an evolving process, and this is the time to really kind of put the rubber on the road and see what we can do and evolve from there. I do. We're tracking. We're growing every day. We're, learning. There's mistakes and trials and errors, and we're growing and improving and eliminating repeated mistakes. The guys have a great attitude. They're working their tails off, and, I've been very pleased with everybody. They love the position. They take a lot of pride in what they do. Yeah, they love football.
What does a Nick Cayley offense look like?
Well, it depends on the players we got, and that's not a cop-out. That's the reality of it. So it can evolve. Be willing to change and do whatever we need to do that's necessary based on who we have and who we're playing. Whether that's, again, you want to get big in terms of multiple personnel or not, gap schemes or zone schemes, committing to more play action or not, that's going to really be dependent on, what your personnel dictates and who you have available. So, again, that's the great part about this year is we get to do a lot of different things and really put a lot of guys in different positions to run certain routes, some of these guys have never done anything, or certain routes that we have, and they might be just exclusively outside receivers that we're working inside and vice versa. So it's a good opportunity just to see what these guys can do.
CJ said that he's going to have a little bit more on his plate at the quarterback position than maybe he'd had his first 2 years. What kind of goes into that, and what sort of things maybe be on his plate that previously he hadn't been asked
for? Yeah, I think it's like anything else. The more you can do, the better off you're going to end up being. And he wants to have the ability to be able to have control. And when you're at that position, there's a lot of great value in being able to fix problems that come up or unscouted looks that come up. And it doesn't happen overnight. That's for sure. And it's repetition. It's comfort with the offense. He's working hard. He's done a good job. And we'll just keep growing that.
Nick, how long do you think being a first-round play caller, how much can you use that to your advantage at the start of the season before they finally get the hook on you? You know, because everybody, you guys been a good coordinator to get a hook on all corners. Back. How long do you think you have before you finally get enough out there so they can start?
I think that, you know, again, it's like anything else. We're going to continue to build our scheme as we get into the season. The season's a long ways away from now. So all honestly we're focused on is trying to get better every single day, deploy the different schemes that we want to try to experiment with, see what fits us, and we'll see. You know, I know this. We have a good staff. We have good players here. We have good guys that love football, and we're just trying to grow every day. I'm not worried about what's going to happen in September. Honestly, I'm worried about just trying to get better every single day here.
Eagles says it's going to take time for the offense to completely gel together.
Yep.
But in a short amount of time that you guys have been together, how have you felt about the gelling and meshing?
Yeah, I feel really good about it. I do. We've got great character in this locker room in general, both sides of the ball, the kicking game. We've got good guys. They love football. And you see, you guys have been around them a lot, some of you guys that have been here. They got a smile on their face. They love to compete. And that's what you want to be around, is competitive guys that find joy in what they do. We have a staff full of guys like that, starting with our head coach, okay, trickling down. And that's what makes it, you know, fun to come to work. I feel, you know, we have a great group of guys. And we're getting, you know, a lot of stuff done. Yeah, he's working, you know, and it's like anything else. There is an adaptation, but he's working. He's got a great attitude, a great way about him. Just really trying to get with Cole, Zach, the offensive line, the vets, and trying to refine his skills and learn the techniques that may have been foreign to him, you know, coming from Minnesota to here. But it's like anything else. He's doing a good job. He's working hard.
OTAs and minicamp are you going to use to be able to watch what the offensive line can do and how you all are mixing and matching right now, but how much of that are you going to be able to use to solidify going into training camp?
Yeah, I think it's like anything else. I don't think anything's going to be solved here in the next 2 weeks, okay? But it is obviously a progression. There's things in this time of the year with not having pads on. We can't hit gap double teams. We are not going to come off the ball and capture zone combinations as much. When you get into training camp, a lot of those things come to life, which obviously carries over into the play action game. Your play passes on early downs and passing off picks and stuff like that. So it's a little bit more of a controlled environment, but we're certainly going to build off everything we do and continue to build up until the time we report back here.
Nick, obviously CJ's watching during throwing part of the practice today. Where is he physically? What are you asking of him right now?
Yeah, he's locked in every step of the way. No concerns whatsoever. I know D'Amico's already hit on this. Everybody's got a specific routine relative to their own routine, specific to whatever, you know, through whether it's football, whether it's athletic training, et cetera. And he's doing a great job, and he's out here, and he's working. He's a pro. He's highly competitive, and he's versatile. He really is. I mean, he's got it. You talk about a guy that's steady every single day, and I've really enjoyed having the opportunity to be around him.
What's CJ able to take away when he's not under center during the throwing portions, and what is he missing out on during that?
Yeah,
time?
Well, it starts in the film room, starts in the meeting and the preparation, going into it and trying to prepare and learn the details and the nuances of everything we're doing. You get mental reps out here. I mean, being out here, he's involved in all the communication. He's tapped in. He's into it. So I've been very pleased when he's out here. Yeah, the fun part for me, to be honest with you, is establishing a foundation, which we talked about in phase one, just the terminology, the nomenclature, the language, okay, getting past that barrier. And, you know, there is some same as, some of the verbiage. And then the second thing I would say is establishing the fundamentals, how we want to hit blocks, how we want to run routes, okay, what the routes are called. And I would say the third element of that, to piggyback off that, is really teaching the details of specifically how you want to run routes. What are the concepts? What are the details of the concepts, et cetera? What's the intent of the play? And I think that's an important part. Like, we don't just call plays to call plays. there's an intentionality of why we're calling every single play for specific reasons. And I think that this is a great opportunity to really establish that foundation and move forward with that. Yes. It's an extent. Everybody will block. We're going to be committed to that in the run game. That's part of who we are. That's toughness. That's physicality. I think that's a non-negotiable, period. So,
Nick, maybe you answer this today. You know, D'Amico's assistant, we talked about looking for the right offensive lineman who has the right mindset. But what does that mindset look like to you?
Yeah, consistency, dependability, toughness, the ability to grow and take coaching. Those are the most important things. Because if you have guys that care, if you have guys that have capacity, which we do, okay, and you have guys that work hard and take coaching, you're going to move the needle and you're going to improve. Yeah, that's the job of us as coaches, too, is to assess where we're at. And, again, building it, there's not a rush to throw everything at it. There is a progression to how we teach everything that we do from start to finish, and we assess that as a staff and we move forward. Yeah, I mean, they're competitive, they're versatile, you know, they stay grounded through the catch, they compete, they're students of the game, they're taking notes. I mean, every single, they're great people, and they love football, and, you know, it's been fun for all of us, for all the different positions, to go out there and get an opportunity to see, you know, what all these guys can do.
I know you like tight ends, but what are you saying from Case Stokes?
Yeah, he's tough. And, I mean, you turn on the tape, I think you guys have all seen it. I mean, he plays with his hair on fire, and there's no substitute for that. And I appreciate the way he plays the game. I've had a lot of respect for him dating back to his days at Ohio State.
There's a lot of new pieces. It's kind of that meshing process of trying to get everybody on the same page.
Yeah, just clarity and communication, building a foundation, encouraging them to ask why. You know, there's no questions that, you know, should be left at the table. If you got a question you need to know, ask. And they've done a great job of that. We got really, really good coaching staff of really good teachers and really good people. And I think understanding that we are in this together. This isn't coaches, players. We're in this together. We're Texans. And this is what we're going to do and just keep moving the needle day by day and just try to stack days, to be honest with you. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Woo! The energy is palpable when Nick Caley is on the microphone. That
you
is
sure that
Nick
was
Caley.
Nick Caley or was that Sean McVay?
I'm fairly certain because he said, "We are Texans." Yeah. Don't you feel it? The blood is pumping. All right, I need a second to digest. So what we're going to do here, that's Nick Caley, offensive coordinator of the Texans. Let's take a quick break. On the other side, coming up next, let's break down some of the things, good and honestly questionable from my perspective, that Nick Caley said after day three of OTAs. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Yeah. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you on another OTA day. In fact, a public OTA day. So we've gotten a little bit of some video of what's happening there. I just want to go, hey, little sister, so bad. Anyways, but we just heard from the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans, Nick Caley. And I'm interested in, oh, we got lyrics in there. Very good. Of what you heard, because there was a number of things that I heard. And I guess this from the 832, they said, Nick Caserio definitely handpicked this OC. Hearing him talk is cringe. He sounds like a Caserio clone. Everything is relative.
Didn't they go to the same college?
Versatile.
Yes.
Yes, yes, they did. Sick of this word salad all the time. He doesn't seem genuine. Lopez, he feels genuine. And to the point of, I don't know. I have more of a belief that what he is saying is like, and maybe more of a belief isn't fair, but I do have a belief that what he is saying he does genuinely mean, if for no other reason than, like, I think he sensed that he felt like, that we felt like he was being generic. And at one point during the middle of that, and unfortunately he did it so quickly that I wasn't able to, like, really break down the actual kind of concepts that he was breaking out there. Mm-hmm. We just talked about, you know, gap versus zone and all that. He put his junk on the table. He's like, okay, I want you, no. Y'all think I don't have the schemes in here? No, I got the schemes in here. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we going to do, the zone or the gap or all this? He put it on the table
I feel like he started off, salute to Sarge for asking what is a Nick Caley offense. Mm-hmm. But he did start off a little generic, and then he started getting into it where I'm like, I don't know. Like, I still have no idea what the offense is, but it looked like he have an idea.
I think that was the plan. Kind of keep it vague for obvious reasons. I'm not criticizing. But to the texter's point.
Well, you said keep it vague for obvious reasons. I think
I have more
of a belief that for him it is not vague for I don't want to divulge.
No,
I
think he got more specific.
It feels like it is vague in sincerity for we are actually going to throw these guys into these situations to figure out which ones are the best, mm-hmm. which is it falls in line with the way that they're playing offensive line. Although it does to me feel like, going back to a conversation we had yesterday, mm-hmm. with Ron and Clint as they were getting ready to get going on the drive, it feels like Arby's.
It does it not? Arby's.
Like it feels like the claim that Ron threw out there about Arby's, where I usually talk about this with McDonald's when we got into like the early aughts, where it felt like they were trying to be all things to all people, where they're like, we are going to have everything on the menu. Like, we're going to be multiple. We're going to have all these things. But are you doing any of these things particularly well? And or should you get to a place, and hopefully you will in the future, but will you get to a place relatively quickly where you have pared down to the things that where you ultimately becomes Raising Cane's, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, we do three things and we do them really damn good. You know, I guess depending on how you feel about Raising Cane's, but you get the point that I'm ultimately trying to put out here. These are the things that we do, and we know that we do them, and we're not trying to do a million things at a relatively lower level.
I think just sort of in a general sense first, to the texture's point, I'm not going to say Nick Caserio hired him, but he had a huge influence. And also, at the very start, and it changed over the course of listening to him, and I want to get to that, but at the very start, you could obviously see the New England influence. You know, the versatility. We're going to fit, you know, sort of his way.
It depends, kind of a week-to-week game
plan. It depends on the players.
Thing.
It's going to evolve. Yeah. be willing to change, do what's necessary. That was very much a game plan offense.
One week we might be this, the next week. That's definitely New England.
So you can definitely feel the New England influence, the John Carroll University influence, the Nick Caserio influence. But I do want to give I do want to get a little deeper into this, because what you're talking about, he said gap schemes, zone schemes, what your personnel dictates. I get all that. Receivers go outside and inside is another thing that he said. So that those are things that are going to be different. Where I really felt like we got some meat on the bone was when he was talking about, well, first of all, let's not bury the lead. You know, he was asked about C.J. Stroud.
No concern whatsoever.
Yeah, no concern whatsoever, he said. But it was a little bit of, he's locked in. Everyone has a specific routine, different from the first 2 years, though, his routine. So it was a little bit, talking about he's in the film room and getting mental reps. Sort of evaded that a little bit by just sort of talking about the things that he is doing right now. But then you get into the meat and potatoes. When he was asked about what C.J. Stroud does in terms of, running the offense more, and some of the things, he's going to do. That was big to me. You could really tell they're going to give Stroud and the quarterback a lot more. Do things that were unscouted is the word that he used.
Make the adjustments. I think – Fix things.
There's a lot of value fixing unscouted looks.
And yeah. I guess I want to be clear, because when you talk about unscouted, it's not necessarily about being unprepared. It's like when you get to the offensive line. Tom Brady has actually spoken about this. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had thought about this ahead of time. Well, I guess I couldn't have, because he literally just said that in this segment. But I wish I had the audio clip of Tom Brady talking about the frustration that he has watching some of these other quarterbacks in the way, and really more the coordinators that have a tight leash on their quarterbacks. Because you get to the line and there's no way that a coordinator can know what the defensive look will ultimately look like at the line. And so not giving that quarterback the opportunity to see what's happening there and adjust to where the play that you already have called, it might be that it's just not going to work. And he does not see the logic, Tom Brady, almost like robot-like. It creates a computational error seeing running a play that you know is not going to work for what you see. And so giving the quarterback the opportunity to diagnose and see, this play does not work for this, let's operate and let's fix what's happening on the field. I think that feels very much like something that we've been clamoring for with CJ, because it felt like that was something that Bobby Slowick was not willing to let him go on. I do think, though, the interesting thing for me is, how comfortable do you feel with CJ immediately jumping in and being able to do that at a high level, especially if you do end up in a place where when you're into the meat of the season, you are still pretty multiple changing that on a given time. Not saying that CJ Stroud is not smart. Don't get me twisted on that. But just how much do you expect from it in year three, which I guess is probably not fair, like year three guys develop, but also in year one of doing this with this type of offense, how much do you believe in him to be able to do all that? And also, how much support do you think that Gerard and Nick are going to be able to give him in order to prepare him to make all of those adjustments? Because we're talking about something, if we're comparing this to New England, if we're comparing this to Tom Brady, that Tom Brady did at a flawless level, because Tom Brady is a maniac.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, look. So that was the first nugget. They are going to put a lot on CJ Stroud's table. They're confident that he can do it. Your point of, to what degree is he going to be successful with it right out of the show.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Shoot, and that's not to say that I think he's going to be bad
at it. It's just a question.
If he ends up being 85% proficient at that, that's really good. I do wonder, though, is how much does the offense then kind of rely on him to do that? And does that 15% difference, whatever the percentages actually mean, I understand that it's kind of nonsensical, but does that 15% difference represent a something that is going to be a hindrance at some point? I don't know. Just thoughts that I had.
Yes, and I had the same. And one other thing that I thought was a good nugget here is when he's talking about the fundamentals and technique with blocking, and not just blocking, with
the way the routes run,
run, you know, all of that stuff. What is the intent of the play?
Dude, that's the one for me.
Is what he talked about.
That's the one for me.
And so that tells you again a little bit about, you know, how they're going to do things. More of a, you know, England gap style. But he mentioned gap and others, but still, he said how they want to hit blocks. You know, how they want to hit blocks. How they're teaching the details specifically how they want to run routes, etc. What is the intent of the play? That tells you right there, it's going to be sort of a discussion on the field, or at least some sort of adjustments on the field between quarterback and receivers and offensive line.
No, and all of that, I think that stuff is very good. Like I said, the thing that I absolutely loved is understanding the intent, like establishing what the intent of the play is and not just having a play. And I am always so very fascinated by that. I think that matters a good deal. I think about, in you know, kind of personalizing it to me, you know, I at one point was, you know, in a position where Figgy is, where I was a producer in radio, and I had situations where I had to train other people. And I think we've all worked in something where you've had to train somebody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's kind of two philosophies, I imagine, in training somebody. You say, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. You do this, you press this button, you do that, and then boom, you've done your job.
Yeah.
And I like the second, I guess, version of it, if it's true that these are the two, which is, hey, this is what you do, but this is why you were doing it. Mm-hmm. Because there are some situations where that order might have to change. And, in order for you to be able to change with it in the moment, as opposed to have to wait for somebody to, diagnose this and tell you why to change, is understanding not just that you press this button in this order, but you press this button for this reason. And so if the reasoning then changes, you know to change the order. And I think that is going to be it's going to empower, I hope, not just CJ, but the entirety of this offense to use their brains and not just, hey, we're going to lean on the genius or the so-called genius of the person who organizes the plays, but then lean on the genius of the players and the, you know, the learned experience and the football IQ of them to see, I'm seeing what's in front of me, and I know what we're trying to get to, so now I can maybe I need to change my route in this place as a wide receiver in order to still get the effect of the play of what we're trying to do, where it might not be what is on the play, which, again, I think alleviates CJ in some ways, where fixing the different looks, because different looks happen on different parts of the field. If you're still getting to the intent, hopefully you can be effective on those plays.
Yeah, and then two more things that I think were real good, solid hints of what this offense is going to be and how it's going to be a little bit different with Nick Caley. The first one you could see coming. He said, and this is a quote, "Everybody will block. That's a non-negotiable, period."
Who is that for?
Yeah.
That
is very, very important. And then this is the part that maybe is a little bit, not a criticism, but a little bit of insight into last year versus this year. I'm encouraging players to ask why. That was big for me as well, because there was a disconnect with Bobby Slowick, my way. You know, he's going to do it his way. There was a disconnect. We've heard from, like Aaron Wilson and others, from not just the offensive line, but from the quarterback room. C.J. Stroud wanted to be able to do this. I got to believe he asked about it last year, and it was no. It was Bobby Slowick's way or no way. He's saying we're encouraging players to ask why. I thought that was good.
From the 832, Nick Caley sounded great. I think I feel similar. Like, I still have questions. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't think he answered all the questions for me as to how this goes. But I do, the infectious energy is there. But I do feel like I have a better understanding of what he's trying to at least do in theory, even if I don't know as specifically what's in practice. So it really, I feel like I really got a good éclaircissement about what was happening there with Nick Caley and the offense. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Don't worry, we will return again to the offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, talking after OTA practice here on this Friday. But coming up next, it's about time where we get into what's popping, including what is the prognosis, what is the ETA on the big-time swinger for your Astros, Yordan Alvarez. We'll talk about that and more next. All right, let's get into what's popping here on a Friday in loop on Sports Radio 610. And we begin by talking about a baseball game that we haven't talked about yet today, because I don't know that I could bring myself to that place. Yeah. A 13-3 thrashing the Rays put on the Astros, which was very frustrating in the first game of a four-game set. What felt like, or at least we came into it, like, hey, is this a place we can get our lick back off of the Rays? And at least for the first game, the answer was no. It was a weird game, though. Obviously,
it was a ball game.
It was a ball game for a good period of time.
Yeah.
Your starter was Ryan Gusto, and unfortunately, this is one of the ones that he did not necessarily cover himself in too much glory. I mean, 3 2/3, he just couldn't get deep into this one. 4 strikeouts, a couple of earned runs, and some free passes issued by Gusto. But because he did not go very deep, your pen had to do some work yesterday. And maybe that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is probably that you gave up a whole heck of a lot of runs late in the game. But one thing I will say, one of the takeaways I had from this game, Lopez, and I'm interested what they were for you. One of the ones that I had before this got wild is it was a reminder, one, of just how much this team competes, especially offensively. They've done a good job of just being a competitive team that tries to keep it close. But then also I think it highlighted just how it feels rare this team has had it, especially over the last month or so, of games that are non-competitive in a losing fashion. Like, this is probably, I went back and counted over the last 3-4 weeks, probably the fourth time that you've had a game that I would consider kind of non-competitive, which is three runs or more in a losing fashion for you. Like, this team typically keeps it competitive, specifically because rarely do you have the bottom fall out like it did for the pen last night.
And that's because of the bullpen. I believe they're either first or tied for first in number of comeback wins in baseball. At least they were going into yesterday. And I'm with you. The bullpen, I don't want to read too much into this. I was talking to you guys before the show, and I was like, sometimes you do truly have to say just one of those nights because it was a ball game. I mean, it was close. I went out to dinner. And we're watching the game at the restaurant. Shout out to Millie's.
Where you go?
Millie's. Okay. Really good over in Garden Oaks. I highly recommend the Pescatore pasta. Really, really good.
Didn't think you were going to get recommendations tonight, did you?
It's basically seafood pasta, Italian style. Really good, Millie's. So we're watching the game, And I said, let's go home. We got to watch the end of this. I think it was 3-3 at that point, 3-2, whatever it was. I get home. I'm like, what the hell just happened? And what happened was the bottom fell out of the bullpen.
You walked in like Childish Gambino with the pizza and the house on fire.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Like, wait a minute. This was a really close ball game. But no. And so you kind of chalk it up to that. But even if you do chalk it up to that, it puts pressure on Fromber tonight. Because the bullpen was used heavily.
Yeah, and 8-3-2, they said you can put the loss on the pen, but I won't because they've been solid and
right.
They can afford a hit. No, I think they have been solid. I think the last part of that, I will kind of quibble with a little bit. They should be able to afford a hiccup. This feels like the reason why you could point to the bullpen and you can make a salient argument that they are the reason why you've been successful. A lot this season is the ability of the pen to be damn solid, because that is what happens when it feels like they are not able to be that. And that probably speaks to why you're going to need to, one, protect them. And that's one of the reasons why I had my kind of trepidation earlier on in the week is if your starting pitching is going to have some issues,
sure.
You're going to have to depend on Gusto and Gordon to be in some of these circumstances. It's also reasonable to expect that every once in a while you'll get a 3 2/3 innings and your pen is going to have to find a way to not only continue to be solid, but also stretch. So tonight, as you mentioned, Fromber Valdez on the mound versus Ryan Pepiot for the Rays, you're probably looking at the likes of Abreu, who did not pitch yesterday. Okert threw 10 yesterday. Maybe he's available. Only 16 in his last three days. And then maybe you can possibly get Hader. Well, Hader feels like he's good because he didn't throw it at all yesterday.
Dubin.
And then maybe Sean Dubin, but he threw 27 the day before. So, like, you don't even have a ton that you're looking at here. So it's going to be, I think, imperative for Fromber Valdez to go pretty deep in this one.
Yeah, no Caleb Ort. He threw 34. No Forrest Whitley. Probably no Bennett Sousa. So, yeah, you need Fromber to go deep. As much as, like I said, you know, it was one of those nights. Kind of shocked me when I saw how it turned. You do have to get another quality outing out of Fromber.
Speaking of going deep, I saw this from our guy Ari Alexander, KPRC2. Jeremy Pena, his 2020 watch is kind of interesting. 7 home runs, 8 stolen bases at this juncture. Like, it feels like he is well on his way to probably hitting that 2020 season, which would be really, really fun for him.
I would absolutely expect it.
And then also speaking of going deep, a dude who you typically expect to go deep, he had not been doing enough of that this season, it seems like, is Jordan Alvarez. Can you give me cut 5 here, Figgy? Because I'd like to talk to the manager of your Houston Astros, Joe Espada, on your
You want to talk to the manager?
I want to talk to him. I want to talk to the manager, guys.
Okay, Karen.
What is happening with
John Lopez?
I ordered Jordan Alvarez.
You're going to write a letter?
John Lopez.
Yeah, you're going to send an email?
A strongly worded email.
I ordered a Jordan Alvarez hitting the baseball weeks ago. Where is my order?
Yeah.
Very close. Yeah. And this is the best he's felt. So obviously hit him machine, he ran the bases. I think he's getting really close. This is the best I've seen him, this is the best he's felt. So really good news.
So you face some pitchers tomorrow?
Yes, so we're gonna have some pitchers here. So he's gonna roughly around 50 pitches, so he could jump in there, some of the guys and track some pitches. So that means that once he's ready, we're not gonna need a rehab assignment. That will be his way to kind of check that box and get ready for games.
All right, so I do. Let me just say this: I do think Jordan is getting really close, and we'll see him in the very near future. But you do have to make it very clear: this started out damn near a month ago now as soreness. This was sore hand. Remember that? And then IL coming off May 13th. Well, except he didn't. And then a week ago, he said, quote, he's getting close. Yesterday, he said, he's getting really close. So as opposed to getting close.
Next week, he goes, really, really, really,
really
close.
Really, really, this time I really mean it close.
Really, 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 really close.
So it's just funny. I do think we're going to see him.
Yeah, I was like,
I do think we're going to see him.
That bit works if you're just talking about the words. He did hit. He off did of, off yeah. a machine yesterday. Yeah, yeah. And today, he will hit off a pitcher. So I think that you do have some actionable items there.
Yeah.
I do appreciate the bit, though. Don't get me wrong. I like what you're doing.
Well, and really, it is, you know, it is for effect and something of a bit. But we won't see him until he's on the activated.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, we have seen progress, air quotes, before, mostly with pitchers. that backfire and they take a step back. So it is kind of a bit because, you know, what's really close as opposed to getting close. I get it, and that's why I brought that up.
And they were saying, too, how he was, you know, hitting some balls at one point, then res hitting it kind of back.
That was off the tee, though.
Yeah.
Like, this is a genuine ramp up. And I don't know.
But
it
could be a thing where he do hit from pitchers, and then it's like a little soreness is back and all that stuff. So
what you mean back? Wait, hold on. Where are you bringing
like,
backs?
I'm just saying, I don't know, man. Like
we were talking about his hands. Where did backs come from? Hey,
it's all cool saying he's really close, and then the next week, really, really close.
Yeah.
But
don't put that in
like we got to see it in action.
He done put that in the ether. Now, hey, somebody guard that man's back. I don't know how you guard a back, but do something to help him.
All I'm saying is, I do think it's going to happen, but I'll really believe it.
I believe it
when I see it.
Yeah. I am encouraged that they do that. It seems like they don't feel it necessary that for him to have a rehab start. Of course, that is me obviously hoping. As I typically do, I am the Hopian junkie over here. Somebody said, I thought I heard Garcia could be coming back as well. I don't recall seeing that. I think the idea was that he was throwing.
He was throwing more.
A little bit. And so it is one of those very, what are we going to do with that? Mm-hmm. Like playing catch type things. Until we get it ramping up to a higher degree, I'm still leaving that in that kind of nebulous space for right now. Yeah. Or actually, no, I think that is Arrighetti. The Garcia thing, I think we got, they're expecting that maybe next month.
Right.
Late next month, I think, is if memory serves me properly. And then some other things that are indeed popping. That's right, from the 832. Did you hear about Lance McCullers hiring security? This is another place we need to really reflect on having shame in society, because Lance McCullers Jr., remember that he received online death threats when he had that one outing early in the month where it just, you know, it didn't look as good as it needed to. And he had received death threats. They have looked in. They have actually gone and they've hired security in order to protect the family. Because Lance, obviously, I imagine he is a dude where you could threaten him, and that's one thing. His children, including his 5-year-old daughter, were threatened, and yeah, he was going to get security. I don't blame him.
Got to be safe.
Not one bit.
Yeah.
Not one iota. Some other things though that are popping. Tonight is the night. Mm-hmm. We talked to the man in studio, and this is the opportunity for him to get his contender status on. It's the WBA super middleweight world title fight happening in Vegas tonight, and it includes a Bektimir Melikuviev and our guy from Houston, Darius Fulgham. He gets going tonight. That'll be on DAZN. So I know I'll be watching. I don't know, but
I will be watching. I mean, he's in the loops, champion.
That's our champion.
Yeah, and he's in the loops, Darius Fulgham.
We want to get DFG closer to actually being a full fledged champion, and it starts tonight as he faces off against Beck. And then also one more thing I wanted to highlight. We've been doing this all day long because yesterday was the Scripps Spelling Bee, and this was the word that ultimately won the championship. Oh, my bad. I thought you had it ready.
So, can you spell it?
A Claire C. Small.
Wait, what was that? I didn't hear it.
A Claire C. Small.
I was stunned when our program director walked in here and nailed it and spelled it correctly. I, frankly, would not have been able to.
Don't Google it and send us the actual answer. Yeah, I've been pondering asking on this for 2 hours. I feel good about my guess, but I'm going to see.
Have you written it down?
I have one guess written down. I'm going to throw out my second guess here in a second. I think where I've gotten to, we've been using it in sentences and trying to understand the idea. Shout out to the
Claire C. Small.
There's a lot of A Claire C. Small in the Yordan Alvarez story.
Yeah, I don't think that's how it's actually. But shout out to the 11-year-old Georgia native, Faizan Zaki, who ultimately spelled A Claire C. Small to win the 2025
I couldn't even
Scripps
spell
National
Faizan Fund. Zaki's name.
That is fair.
I really couldn't.
There are two Z's in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not an A Claire C. Small. That would really be a problem. You start telling me that there are Z's or X's in there.
Google it. Spell it. Let's see how you do.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how you ultimately get it. But yeah, there you go. That's what's popping here on a Friday in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, I want to return to something that the offensive coordinator of the Texans, Nick Caley, said when he was talking to the Assemble media. What is actually the timeline for getting this offense on its feet? Because we still have some little ideas, but we're not going to know what the offense is because it feels like it's not fully established and developed. But when will it be? Because I think that he had some conflicting things that I want to break down. Let's do that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.